Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
Good morning again. So for those who may be just joining us here or on the internet, I just want to emphasize again that we're moving to another level of understanding of Scripture and how it fits into our lives. You've probably heard me say before that there are seven levels of meaning within the Bible. And the intellect right away says, oh, I want to know what all seven levels are, you know. But even in Scripture, there are times when the disciples would call Jesus to the side after he had spoke to the crowd and say, could you explain to us what you just said? Because we still don't get it, you know. And again, like I said, the intellect always wants to jump to, I would say right now we've been moving through from level one to level two of understanding of Scripture. But the intellect wants to know what 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 is. But it's sort of like yesterday I called a friend of mine because I'm trying to get my desktop to hook up with my TV and get a good resolution, and it's not quite working. So I called him up. He's very technical. Don, many of you know him. And he's explaining to me, you know, about the BIOS and doing this and that. And he went on for about 2 minutes, and then he said, do you understand what I'm saying? I said, no, Don, I went to sleep after the first 30 seconds. You know, I mean, he was using all this technical language that was many levels beyond where I was in understanding, you know, that dynamic. And so it's sort of the same thing with this. I myself am just starting to understand level two. Does everybody get what I'm saying? And level two, as we have talked about, and when we talked about faith and prayer, and last week also, this idea that that you know, it's not about, it's, I have faith is level one. I am faith is level two. You get what I'm saying? I pray to God is level one, because there's an idea of a separation between me and God. But I am the prayer is level two. You're moving from asking to knowing. Is that, are you starting to get the idea? So today we're going to talk about this idea, you know, to you it has been given. We're still working with the unity way of living. For those who are just joining us, we're going through what are the basic ideas and principles behind unity. So this is what Jesus said to his disciples. The disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? All right. And Jesus always spoke in parables because a parable takes, and you hear a lot of it about farming and things of that nature in Scripture, because he was speaking in terms of how the people lived at the time. So if he took a parable based on how they lived, they could maybe get a glimpse of understanding of the principle he was trying to teach. Right? So the disciple says, well, why do you speak to them in parables? He answers, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, he said, to you, the disciples who are right here with me, it has been given to know and understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not. Right? Now, disciple means one who has dedicated his or herself to the process of understanding a higher level consciousness of a connection with spirit. Right? Another quick example would be when Jesus went up Mount Sinai and the crowds were below him. He went up the mountain. The disciples came up halfway up the mountain, and the people he was talking to, they stayed at the bottom. Well, Jesus went up the mountain means he went to a high level of consciousness. Disciples only came up halfway because they could not come up to the level of consciousness where he was, and the masses stayed at the bottom because they didn't get it at all. You get what I'm saying? So that's sort of how you try to understand the next level of what Scripture is trying to say to you, right? So this lesson, we're going to focus on unity's interpretation of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Because Jesus said, to you it has been given the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And again, that's Matthew 13, for those who are taking notes, Matthew 13, 10 through 17. And as Jesus described, so we're going to look at that interpretation, but we're going to look at it as Jesus described it in Luke 17, 20 through 21. He answered the Pharisees saying that, you know, because they said, where is the kingdom of God? And he said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. And this, I think, Christianity has missed altogether. You know, when he keeps saying heaven is up there. But Jesus said, no, it's not coming with signs to be observed. You cannot say it is here, although it is there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So where do we get this thing that the kingdom of heaven's up there? You get what I'm saying? So it's, you know, it's trying to understand the next level of the process. And some interpretations say the kingdom of heaven is within you, and others say the kingdom of heaven is in the midst of you. So, and as Paul put it, we live and breathe and have our being in this idea we call God. Okay? Again, my very simple thing of the fish in the ocean. All right? So, now let's look at this further from a metaphysical perspective to get a greater understanding between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. All right? Now, this explanation is coming from Unity teacher and minister Ed Rabel. Many of you have heard me talk about Ed Rabel. He was considered a mystic in Unity. He said the kingdom of God can be viewed as a universal perspective of God. Omnipresent, present everywhere simultaneously. God is omnipresent, present as a presence. All right? Omnipotent, encompassing all power there is, or that which is the source of all power. Again, you hear my idea, quantum physicists would call God the unified field, that from which all that we see comes from. And then omniscient, all-knowing, or that which is a source of all knowledge and all wisdom. Now, both of those, omnipotent and omniscient, said the source of. The reason why that's so important is for us to realize, as we move through this lesson, that source exists where? Not out there, but in here. All right? So it's like, again, the explanation of, you heard me say this many times, the word to educate doesn't mean for the teacher to teach the student. It means for the teacher to awaken in the student that which the student already knows, you know, so to draw out. So, however, the kingdom of heaven is, so the kingdom of God is the, if we go back to Deepak Chopra's virtual realm, quantum realm, physical realm, the virtual realm is just infinite potentiality. So that which God is nothing but infinite potentiality. And you've heard me say this before. It means when you say to God, I need a new car, God's going, I have no idea what you're talking about. Because in God, there's only the potential for the car, but the car itself doesn't exist there. All right? So God is infinite potentiality. And so the kingdom of heaven is the individualization of the kingdom of God within each one of us. And you've often heard me say it before, that we are the eachness of the allness. We're the individual expression of the God idea. Again, my favorite example, and I use these over and over again because I know different people are listening, is the wave in the ocean. So when the wave comes up, you say, there is a wave, but then the wave settles back down into the ocean. So when you see the wave, it's an individual expression of the ocean. That's what we are. We're all waves in the ocean. We're individual expressions. So we are connected not only to God, but to what? Each other. Okay? So we are God pressing out into expression. So if again, we go back to quantum physics says the invisible is always seeking to press out into the visible. The unmanifest is always trying to become manifest. But God can only do for us what we allow God to do through us. Okay, so we are the instrument. All right, and so we are God. And if that's a little bit much for you to embrace the idea that we are God, if you can't kind of get that saying, I am God, that's a hard thing to say. Well, then try to embrace the idea that I am the instrument through which all of my dreams and desires and prayers and everything, I am the instrument through which it comes. You get? So you say, well, I can't get with that I am God. But I can possibly grasp the idea that I am the instrument through which God works. Does that make sense? So in essence, the kingdom of heaven is the vehicle through which we receive our desires. The kingdom of heaven is the vehicle through which we receive our desires. So truly, to you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But the key is to come to know this divine idea about yourself. In other words, to you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But you have to grasp the fact that this is you. You follow me? So you read it in scripture and you say, oh, yeah, he's talking about the disciples. But what does disciple mean? It means the one who is following the consciousness or the teachings of, all right? And so we are all disciples of this idea. It depends on how far up the mountain you're willing to go. You follow me? Okay. So that's sort of the concept behind this. And as we already know, in Unity's approach to truth, Fillmore portrays the gifts of God. We've all been given these gifts of God, but Fillmore portrays those gifts as the 12 spiritual attributes that exist in your subconscious realm of mind. So we have these 12 gifts from God, these 12 powers that exist in our subconscious realm of mind. And those being faith, love, wisdom, strength, power, imagination, will, order, zeal, renunciation, and life. And if you heard me say many, many times, Jesus at one point said, I've overcome all of you, meaning his disciples, except Judas, which represents life. In other words, he had not yet had the experience of overcoming life, but he was going to make that, you know, obvious. So each of these being an aspect of the kingdom of heaven that exists right inside of us. Now, listen carefully. Each producing divine ideas that are capable of expressing results in our lives according to their nature. So, if allowed, that's the key point. If allowed, faith will produce divine ideas according to its nature. So when you say, I have faith, you're calling on that particular power to become quickened or active in you, and it will produce ideas within your conscious mind that will help you to hold on to that faith. All right? If allowed, love will produce divine ideas according to its nature. If allowed, wisdom and understanding will produce divine ideas according to its nature. You get what I'm saying? So the kingdom of heaven is the realm from which divine ideas become conscious in your mind. All right. Now, the challenge for us is to learn how to align ourselves, meaning our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, our very being with our kingdom of heaven consciousness, right? With the 12 spiritual gifts that exist within us. Whereas right now, being materially or physically oriented, right? We are all materially or physically oriented. We have developed a habit of aligning the very essence of who we think we are with the events and circumstances that are occurring in our lives. So somebody says, well, how are you doing? What we do is right away we start telling them what's going on in our lives. Good or bad, I mean, you know, great or no matter what it is, and we've aligned ourselves with that idea. So when super great things are happening, we're excited about telling people how we have aligned ourselves with those ideas. We don't say we aligned ourselves, but we can see it and feel it in the way we're experiencing it. But if something happens to that thing which made us happy, because we aligned ourselves with it, now we move in the direction of being unhappy. You see the problem with that? Okay. So that's sort of the concept. So in relating to our world and with each other, we have a tendency to relate through the consciousness of that which is occurring in our outer life, causing us to relate to each other through our pride or our prejudice, through our joy or our fear, through our happiness or our sorrow. However, Jesus sought to teach us how to keep our focus on developing our relationships with our 12 spiritual gifts, which would transform how we relate to each other and how we show up in the world. So what happened is if I'm more in tune with my inner self than my outer self, no matter what is going on out here, I stay in tune with what's going on in here. Okay? So again, if you go back to, you know, you heard me saying that the underlying, I try to get you to understand, what am I reading? Okay? And what I'm very much into right now is trying to understand this Saint John of the Cross, Dark Night of the Soul. That's a very deep, I wouldn't even recommend you go out and look at it, all right? All right? Because it's talking about total detachment from the world and complete connection with spirit. So you have, no matter what happens out here, it doesn't matter to you because you have this complete connection with spirit. But then if you read, I'm also reading Joel Goldsmith's Practicing the Presence, it's the same idea, okay, of this complete connection with spirit. So the Bible relates the story allegorically of Jesus' 12 spiritual gifts being his 12 disciples. Now, in essence, Jesus developed a relationship with his disciples through which he could master or quicken each one of those powers within himself. So, for example, Peter helped him quicken his power of faith. His relationship with John helped him quicken his power of love. His relationship with James helped him quicken his power of wisdom, and so on. So for Jesus, it was not so much about judging the behavior of his disciples as it was about learning how to quicken within himself what the disciple represented for him. Now, the reason why that's important, because it's the same thing in our lives. Simply, what is occurring in our body, minds, and in our relationships is never about what is occurring. Yeah. You know, so it's that new thing, New Amsterdam. You mean, am I watching that show? What a fabulous show. All right. So remember the little boy, he was 10 years old, something like that, and they had him on all these psychotropic drugs because he acted out in school. And so the psychotherapist wanted to get him off the drugs so he could find out what's going on with the kid that he was acting out. Right? And that's typically what we end up doing. We drug ourselves so we don't feel the pain anymore, but we're never getting at the essence of what's causing the pain. So that's why I said the pain or the thing you're going through is not about the thing you're going through. It's about something deeper that you need to try to get to. Is that making sense? Okay. So, you know, the outer occurrence, whatever it is merely symbolic of another opportunity to discover the secrets of the kingdom of heaven within, and then in our awakening state, be able to consciously choose the gift we need that already lies inside of us to guide us through whatever we're going through. So stuff comes up in your life, whatever that stuff might be, I don't care what it is, it's you say to yourself, wow, this is trying to awaken within me my connection with my kingdom of heaven consciousness, and choose which of the 12 gifts I need to guide me through what I'm experiencing. That's totally different, isn't it? Okay, that's level two, right? That's the next level of this process. So the kingdom of heaven is the greatest power we possess. It is a power within us, say it with me, that's what? Far greater than anything that exists outside of us. All right. I had an evaluation of my class on Thursday. I had the associate dean, department chair, and the dean all sitting there. And in that class, while I was working, I said to the class, "And what is my main purpose with you guys?" And they said, "To help us discover that there's a power inside of us that's far greater than anything that exists outside of us." Yeah. And I wanted the powers to be to hear that. So anyway, as Jesus put it in Matthew 13:42, all right, he said the kingdom of God, a kingdom of heaven, is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up, and then in his great joy he went and sold all that he had so he could buy it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who finds one pearl of great value, and went and sold all he had so he could buy it. Now, selling all that you have means giving up all of your own mental dynamics, okay, your own emotional stuff, and connecting to the fact that you have just found the kingdom of heaven. That's why Jesus said to the young man who came up and says, what must I do? You know, I follow all of the laws and everything. And Jesus said, go and sell all that you have. Okay. And what did he do? He went away sad because he had great wealth. And everybody in this room has great wealth. You know what that wealth is, right? That's all of our habits and prejudices and beliefs and all of the stuff inside of us that causes us to operate purely from perception and never really see reality. Again, another thing you've heard me say, I tell my students the first day, there is no reality, there is only perception. If you think about that, that's true. Okay? So, in each of these stories, Jesus is emphasizing that the kingdom of heaven is greater than anything we possess. Whenever something disturbing occurs in your body, in your mind, in your emotions, in your relationships, in your life and affairs, it's your mission to learn how to turn away from the consciousness of disturbance and turn to the consciousness of the kingdom of heaven. And as Ed Rabel says, consciousness is king. It's the master of all that you do. All right? And again, your consciousness is the sum total of every experience you've ever had, but not the experience itself. It's your reaction to the experience that creates your consciousness. So like I said to my students in the class, I said, how many of you have brothers and sisters? They all raise their hand. How many brothers and sisters grew up in the same household? They all raise their hand and says, how many of you are different from your brothers and sisters who grew up in the exact same environment with pretty much the same experiences, but each had what? A different reaction to that experience would cause a different type of consciousness, a different way of seeing the world, okay? So think about how when something is bothering you, how it happens, you know, it shapes your words, it determines your mood and emotions, right? Your whole energy kind of gets, trapped into it. Well, this is an indication that we are in the consciousness of disturbance, which Scripture calls the kingdom of the earth. And it is a clear indication that we're not in the kingdom of heaven consciousness. Now, remember, none of this is about condemnation. As I keep telling people I work with outside of here, self-observation, said, without condemnation. Okay? So when you find yourself, you say, whoa, I'm in a consciousness of disturbance right now. Well, see, that number one is the beginning of awakening. You get it? You know, at least you can identify where you are and know that there's a place to go. A lot of times when stuff happens to us, we just feel, it grips us and we have no way of figuring out how to get out of it. That's why the opioid thing that's going on in the country. Right, I want to just dope myself up or drink my or whatever, so I just don't have to think about this. Okay, so to be able to be sober and say to yourself, I'm in the consciousness of a disturbance. What do I need to do to get myself to the consciousness of the kingdom of heaven? And think about how again this process of unfolding and becoming awake to this idea. If we remember that the kingdom of heaven is the realm of divine ideas. Let me say that again. Somebody says to you, what is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is the realm of divine ideas. The kingdom of heaven is the realm of divine ideas, okay? It is the origin from which we receive divine guidance to get us peacefully through the challenges in our lives. So if you're aware of your kingdom of heaven consciousness, even if you say to yourself, I don't know if I'm really there or not, but I'm aware of it, right? I understand what it is, because before when people say kingdom of heaven, all you thought about was what? Up there. Okay? But now you realize that the kingdom of heaven is actually a divine attribute that exists right inside of you, and you now notice the realm of divine ideas, and you know it's also the origin of divine guidance. Right? So you know these things. So even at an intellectual level, you can say, I need divine guidance. I need to tap into this realm of divine ideas and receive the guidance I need. You don't have to pray, oh, Lord, please do this, because the Father knows what you want even before you ask. And the fact that the consciousness that you're in realizes that you realize, then the ideas start coming. All right? So we want to develop a routine of turning within before we turn without. And this will place us in a different state of consciousness before we call the doctor, before we go on that interview, before we come face to face with that person that we're in conflict with, right? Before we do those things, we turn within before we turn without. Now, we will still go to the doctor or whatever it is in life that we must do, but we'll do it with the confidence of divine guidance streaming from the kingdom of heaven within us. Then nothing outside of us will disturb our peace or knock us off our spiritual center. You get it? So, you know, we always talk about streaming, right? And when we wanted, they were talking about somebody, can't you just stream the service? And we said, well, we tried that, but the internet's not blah, 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 blah. Right? But, you know, you want to create this streaming of this divine idea process, you know, moving within you. Now, let me just share with you, though, that when you have this streaming of divine ideas, be careful not to negate any of the ideas that are coming in. Because a lot of times the ideas are going to be beyond what your intellect could have even conceived of. All right? So now it's recorded in Matthew 6:5 that Jesus said, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. Go into your room is referring to your inner spiritual center. It's the center of your being. Okay? It's the secret place of the Most High that exists deep within you. God, it's a God-given, it's your God-given kingdom of heaven. And in this secret place, you're shutting the door to all the outside ailments and events and people who are, you know, who are disturbing your peace. You're closing the door to that so that you can just commune with spirit, right? Now, the key here is you want to learn how to get into your center and away from your circumference. Right now, we exist in our circumference, and only at times do we find ourselves at the center. Everybody in this room has had moments where you touch that center. You know, there's a book, I think it's called A Crack in the Cosmic Egg, which means you crack through and saw the center of your being, you know. But the circumference of our being, that's the kingdom of the earth, right? The circumference is the outer perimeter of our being. It's the realm of challenges and consequences. While the center of our being is the kingdom of heaven. It's the realm of divine ideas. The kingdom of heaven is that sacred place within you where you learn how to remain peaceful no matter what the challenge may be in your life. So challenges are going to happen. They happen all the time. But it's sort of a matter of you observe it without being sucked into it or without giving your I am to it. Right? Great things happen. You say, I am happy. Somebody says, why? Because I gave my I am to that thing that's making me happy. Terrible things happen. I am sad. Why? Because I gave my I am to that thing that made me sad. So we're constantly giving our power up. You get it? We're constantly giving our power to something outside of us. But we want to remain in that kingdom of heaven consciousness. It's where the blessings you long for originate, just waiting for you to claim them. So the Father knows what you want even before you ask. So you say, Father, I need, and it has already been given, but it's given as a divine idea or divine guidance within your kingdom of heaven. So you have to be open to receiving that and then following what the guides give you. Does that understand the practical? Okay. So we unknowingly have been trying to bring our circumference, our outer life, into our center, our inner life, through what we have come to call prayer. So we say, Lord, I'm going through this right now, and we're telling God all about this stuff we're going through like God don't know, right? And so what we're doing, we're taking this, all the stuff that's happening in the circumference, and we're trying to bring it into our center, all right? Now, sometimes it even seems to work, but usually the fix is temporary because our focus is still on the outer. You get it? That's why when Jesus fed the 5,000, which we know was probably really around 15,000, you know, he fed them. Then he went off to do something else. And what did they do? They got hungry later and they went looking for Jesus. And he said, you don't come to me because of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven I taught you. You're coming to me because you're hungry again. And that's what we do. We go to God when we're hungry, right? And God teaches us how to use the divine guidance that he gives us to work through whatever it is we're working through. But we don't get that part. We just got that we were hungry, God fed. right? So when I'm hungry again, like Pavlov's dog, we go back looking for God to feed us again. You follow me? Yeah. So what work, you know, what works is when we learn how to bring our center to our circumference. When we learn how to bring our inner life to our outer life. When we learn how to bring the kingdom of heaven to the kingdom of earth. And this is what Jesus taught us again, which we as Christians didn't really get it. But he said very simply, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You with me? Okay. It'll be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not be done in earth, in heaven as it is on earth. That can't happen. All right? And once we get it, our whole lives will begin to change. So when we have glimpses of success from our prayers, it is not because we were able to successfully bring our circumference to our center, our problems to God, but rather what happens is that through the daily practice of the process of prayer, we have moments when we forget our circumference, we forget our outer life with its trials and tribulations, and in that moment of forgetting, it is the same as letting go. It is the same as shifting from the consciousness of crisis to the consciousness of Christ. So it's sort of like you say, but all this stuff is going on and I got to take it to God. You don't need to take that to God. Yeah, you don't need to take that to God. What you need to do is take yourself to God without all of the burden of that other stuff that we carry around all the time. And when you can do that, that's when you have those moments of healing. And it's an imperative spiritual practice to remember that we cannot enter into our center and we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven burdened down with the trials and tribulations of our life. And this is what Jesus was trying to tell us in Matthew 7:14. He said, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few can find it. Okay? Now, when he said that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than, you know, that, remember that one? Well, the eye of a needle, again, was actually a physical gate that a camel could not get through when it had all of the stuff on it. Okay? So they had to take all the stuff off the camel, and then the camel had to get down on his knees and skirmy through the gate. That's where that came from historically. But it's the same thing with us. We cannot enter into our kingdom of heaven consciousness with all of the stuff that we carry around. You have to leave that at the door. Is that making sense? Okay. All right. So typically we are so focused on trying through prayer to convince God to make right what we perceive as being not right. And we get so bogged down in our perception of things being not right that we cannot enter through that gate called the kingdom of heaven. Right? If it's not right in our lives, it's, oh God, please make this right for me. So you're going to assume that because you see it's not right, God sees it as not being right. That, you know, we got to get, that's what we got to get at. Level one is because I saw it right, God sees it right. Because I see it's wrong, God sees it wrong, whatever. Level two is, I might see it as wrong, but that's not how God sees. God sees only wholeness, all right? It's the eyes of God are what? Too pure to behold iniquity, all right? God only speaks the language of what is right and whole and well, while we have a tendency to get stuck in seeing only what is wrong, not whole, not well. And again, the intellect is going, well, yeah, that is wrong. Am I right? Yeah. The intellect is going, you know, it'll argue and say, yeah, but, you know, this is all messed up. Okay? And again, collectively as a group, there are topics we could bring up. Almost everybody in the room said, yeah, that's messed up. Am I right? Okay. So, we're not, what we always have to understand is where we are in the process. Okay, where are we in the process? And you're always going to be, I don't want to say that specifically, but you're typically not going to be just at the level of enlightenment. Because remember, even Jesus got mad and, you know, turned over the tables and laid people out, you know, right? So he had his moments. You see what I'm saying? So you're going to be at different levels of the process, but you're going to be in bits and pieces of all of them. So now hopefully we can see why our prayers often do not seem to get answers. It is because we are speaking a language different from God. When you say, God, this is wrong or not right, I need you to fix it, you're not speaking the same language that God speaks, all right? God speaks the language of what is right and abundant, while we have a tendency to speak the language of what is not right and lacking, okay? So it's like I tell my students, this is how you manage your parents. The way you manage your parents is your parents have a certain mindset, okay, that's very different from your mindset. The number one thing on your parents' mind, I don't care what kind of a parent it is they want you to be safe, all right? So when you come to your parent with a, you're going to ask them something, you have to make sure that you phrase that in a way that fits into their mindset, not yours. You get it? And if you can phrase it in a way that it fits into their mindset, you're more likely to get the answer you want. It's like my daughter who's sitting here when she was 3 years old. She wouldn't come up and say, can I have a cookie? She would say, I just want one. See, she learned at a very early age, don't ask a yes or no question. Right? All right, right, Adina? All right. So, again, so the language we speak creates a veil that covers our eyes, preventing us from seeing the good that is already ours. So when our mind goes, oh, that's not right, that's wrong, we just put a veil over ourselves. And that veil says, I can't see what is right because I'm locked up in what is wrong, what is lacking, what's not there, what's not working. All right? And that veil will not let you see the truth, okay? But to our credit, in our prayer diligence, we do have moments when we slip into nothingness. Who's had that? You know, you're praying, you're meditating, whatever, and all of a sudden you realize that time went by and somebody said, what were you thinking? You were there. You were there. Your whole life had just slipped away. Even if it's for a nanosecond, it's a great feeling. And the ego says, ooh, that was good. Let me get back there. And it's not possible. It's not possible, all right? So we slip into nothingness, which is a place in consciousness where nothing wrong is wrong or lacking. And in this moment, we are letting go, and we temporarily remove the barriers and lift the veil that prevents our inner life from expanding and healing our outer life. So that's the purpose of prayer. It's not to ask for anything. It's to create this incredible communion with God, where my inner life, the center of my being, is moving out into the outer parts of my life and healing those things which I thought were not good. All right? But if you're going and you're saying to God, oh, God, please, oh, God, please, oh, God, please, fix this thing, you are so locked into the fact that that thing is not right that even when it's made right, you won't even be able to tell. All right? And so when we are centered in sense consciousness, we think that we are using life. I like this. When we're basically in sense consciousness. So we use life. We use money. We use ideas. We use love to get what we want in our life. In our state of mind of trying to use, we are consuming. So if I'm using money, I feel like I'm consuming money. If I'm using life, I get to these points where I'm tired and, you know, and just run down. All these things are happening. Or if I feel like I'm using love to get what I want. And a lot of times that's what's happening. Anybody hear me? All right. If I'm doing that, I reach points where I feel used up. Okay. And it's because we have been using instead of remaining open to be used by God. So even when you have money in your hand, that's not money. That's God. When you feel really good and healthy, that's God. You know, that's because something has happened for you where you let go of something else and the good snuck through. And it happens to every one of us. That's why we're all basically doing You know, we're here, right? Because the good snuck through. Now, I shared with you before that, you know, before I come up here, I'm sitting there and we're singing the Lord's Prayer. And just before I come up, you know, it's in that part that they play right after we, what is that called? After the music, after postlude, yeah, postlude. This is what I'm saying to myself every single time. Lord, guide me, use me, form me, shape me in thy way. I am willing to follow. For this I was born, to be your instrument, not mine. That's what I say right there every time before I come up here. Okay? Because I had stuff on paper. But as you can see, I talk beyond what's on the paper. Because while I'm up here, Spirit is saying, well, you need to say this. Even if it's a joke, right? You need to do this. Okay? So now what you might want to do is create a prayer that you resonate with that you can use to keep pulling you back to your center. The question to constantly ask yourself is, right now in this moment with what's happening in my life, am I living at the circumference of my being or the center of my being? See, that again, that's the product of being awake. The ego does not want you to question it. And as soon as you start questioning the ego, it begins to diminish. Everybody hear me? All right? As soon as you question, so if you find yourself blurting out something, yelling at somebody, getting upset, if you step back for a moment and says, you know, I just went to the circumference of my being, and I want to be at the center. How do I get back there? This person standing in front of you, you know, they're doing their thing, but you're talking to yourself, right? How do I get back to my, you get what I'm saying? All right? Pulling yourself back to that center. And again, it is not condemnation, you know, this idea that we have a tendency to operate at our circumference. Rather, it's realization, the discovery of where we really are in the spiritual path. We want to get spiritually real with ourselves. And the reality is that we have been operating at the kingdom of earth and not the kingdom of heaven. So when we come to truly understand the prayer Jesus taught, it will change our way of praying from, I am sick, Lord, help me to be well, to precious Lord, thank you for helping me to know I am already well. Amen.